If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the Leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Cigar Craig. Cigar Craig Podcast. Sorry, it's been a few weeks since I came to you last. It's episode 10 of the Cigar Craig Podcast. Had a few distractions last few weeks. Went to some events, wanted to get some interviews with some people, didn't get the opportunity, and had a couple other ideas that didn't pan out, but I'll get to them eventually. So I figured I'd reach back into the archives this time and pull out a phone interview I did with a celebrity, someone you'll may or may not recognize from the past, a child actor who went on to some radio acclaim and some things. At the time, he was a disc jockey in the Philadelphia market, and I think he's on the West Coast somewhere now, maybe Portland or Seattle somewhere. Not quite sure where he's gotten to. You'll recognize him from the 70s show, The Partridge Family. Danny Bonaducci had a brief foray into the cigar area. I think he just enjoyed them from time to time. A local cigar shop owner at the time had clued me in on the fact that he enjoyed a cigar from time to time, so I got to talking to him about it. And I didn't edit the phone call at all because it was kind of amusing. And he was a hyper guy and wouldn't, you know, there's just no way to edit it. It was just, you'll have to take it for what it is. And it was a fun conversation we had one afternoon. And again, just like the episode one with George Hamilton, I recorded it on the phone with a cassette tape recorder and then recorded that with a MP3, you know, a voice recorder. And that's how it ended up here. So it's not great quality, but it's what it is. It's kind of something to tide you over till I get something else in the can for the next episode 11 when I get something together. That's about it. So without further ado, and please enjoy this interview with Mr. Danny Bonaducci from back around 2010.
Human being ever.
This is about the cigars, and I am
cool. Well, then that makes you the most prompt human being ever.
See that? Oh, I just had
you
a panic.
Are Craig, I believe.
I am Craig, and we have met before. We have met before. You may not remember, but we met down.
Tell me when and where.
We met down at the Harley Davidson place down in Delaware, and I put a Cuban cigar in your hand.
I do remember.
That was last year. Real quick. Do you mind if I record this for my own purposes
No.
so I can transcribe
Go
it?
Go right ahead.
Cool. Thank you very much.
You're much better off with this pace I talk for until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I can't turn off the show pace. I speak 1,000 miles an hour.
I understand. Yeah, I'd be having a writer's cramp, and I'd miss something for sure if I didn't record it and slow it down and transcribe it. But that's good. So you still, real quick, I write a blog. You know, just about cigars, basically. And
interestingly enough, I was out in Reading last night, Reading, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
There's a place called Landis Corvettes, and they're a sponsor of my radio show. And the commercial said, "Hi, this is Jimmy Dio, retired wrestler." And then they go on, and I told them, you know, one of these days you should put a wrestling ring in your parking lot, and I'll wrestle you. It'll be fun. Because I did all that stuff with Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up doing it last night. Got 7 stitches to the head because I went a little wrong.
That's right.
But he just started his own cigar company.
Really?
I mean, literally, he was debuting them last night at the wrestling match.
Interesting. Very cool. So did you smoke any?
No, not before the match, but I have one right here. I usually have them with a drink, so I'll wait till later in the day. So I can't tell you if they are good or not, but he seemed incredibly proud of them.
Nice. I'll have to look into that.
If you want, I'll give you his phone number. You can call him and ask about him.
That'd be awesome.
I have it in my pocket. Like I said, I wrestled him last night, and I got cut. I got 7 stitches, so I wanted him to email the picture, so I have his phone number literally in my pocket so I could call. Where are the pictures? I need them on my website.
So his
name is...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, where'd you get stitches?
His name is Jimmy Dio, and his phone number is 484-256-4198. Cool. What a cool coincidence.
That
He's
is
a great
cool.
guy.
That is a cool coincidence, because Reading isn't that awful far away. It's right up the road.
Oh, you could actually go try one of them, man, because he started like a club. And so, I mean, I was getting the full, I'd never heard of it before last night. So I was getting the rundown while I was getting ready to wrestle, and he used to be a pro for years and years and years.
Right.
And just because I've been on TV wrestling with Hulk Hogan for 8 or 9 weeks, that's all the wrestling I know. So I was, like, scared. He's just talking about his cigars and stuff like that. I'm going, wait. What happens after you hit me in the head with a trash can?
Very cool. So you're still, first question I guess I had was, you're still having a cigar every now and then.
Yeah, okay. Every now and again. But you know what? Cigars to me are, well, to be honest with you, more significant because I... Not that I don't acknowledge Christmas as a... I was born Roman Catholic, so I acknowledge it as a holiday. I don't go crazy about it, but I give gifts and stuff like that. But birthdays and Christmas in my own house, not for my kids or friends or something like that, I don't really acknowledge because I was homeless for 2 full years after the Partridge Family, and then made it back again, so I don't play the lottery. I don't buy myself presents on my birthday or Christmas. Like, I got all the presents. Like, I can go buy anything I want, anytime I want. These days mean nothing to me because it's a special Tuesday. So cigars are kind of like that to me, except I do acknowledge them, but it has to be a very special Tuesday. There has to be a reason for me to sit down with a brandy or a cognac and smoke a cigar. I just don't do it in the house for no good reason. There has to be... Either I did a personal good job and I'm not celebrating with anyone, or it's me and a bunch of guys in a cigar club. But that's, both things are once or twice a year. Cigars are significant to me.
Oh, very cool. And if you could, do you have certain cigars that you've really enjoyed or that you could put a name to?
You know, because in most of the world, we don't, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but you can go to Cuba. You just can't spend American money there.
Right.
We don't boycott the island. We're just not allowed to spend money there. So you go to Mexico, Canada, England, or anywhere, you can get Cubanas, no problem, which are always good. But for the most part, I am given cigars, and somebody says, this is great, you're going to love this.
Right.
And I don't know what particular brand they are. And usually, to my surprise, because often... I also like a good drink with my cigar. They're often wrong about the drink, but they're almost always right about the cigar.
Cool.
I've never had a cigar from a person who said, you're going to love this, and not thought at least, oh, this is very good. But the drink they told me to go with it is often a huge miss.
Big miss.
It's funny that people are more accurate about their tobacco than their alcohol.
Taste is so subjective. Trip over my tongue, sorry.
No, exactly.
Subjective.
Taste is completely subjective.
Yep.
But when you come to something as strong as an 80% or an 80-proof spirit,
you got to have the cigar to go along with it.
That's hit you in the head, and if it hits you in the head improperly, you notice. But with the cigars, and I have a fairly good palate for both, I would notice a poorly crafted cigar, you can notice it by the way it would fall apart. You can notice it by the way it continually goes out or continually stays lit, depending on where you are and how often you're puffing on it. There's a lot of significant tells, for lack of a better word, with a good cigar. Well, if you don't like the taste of a drink, that's that.
Right. Exactly. And honestly, who's going to come up and give you a cigar and say, hey, this sucks, you're going to hate it?
Actually, nobody, but there are people, well, they have, like I said, they've been mostly right with cigars, but there are people who, because of my reputation or what people think about me, often recommend a recreational pastime of some kind. You're going to love this, and I hate it. You know, like people think, let's go out and, I don't know, get in a bar fight or what, to take a bunch of drugs, and all things I wouldn't ever do.
Of course.
When I was in my 20s, but they made the papers. People are going to think being impolite to your waitstaff is cool. I can't, you know, I used to be a bartender. So there are a lot of things that people think are cool that I do not. But mostly it's surprising. I don't think I would have even taken notice of this had you not been on the phone. But it's surprising to me how accurate people are about their cigars. People are mostly inaccurate about everything.
Well, yeah.
If they weren't, I wouldn't have a radio show to disagree with everything about. That's what I do, basically.
Exactly. Very nice. So, what do you think? What do you think's easier to get, drugs or Cubans? That's an off-the-wall question. Probably.
No. I just wanted to answer it honestly.
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia, I would say Cubans by far. But that's only because I never took drugs in my adult life in L.A.
Right.
I'd have told you, no, I'd still have told you drugs, absolutely. I would think anywhere in the U.S., if you're a guy that dresses like I do and knows where the neighborhood is, you can get drugs in 5 minutes.
Sure.
I don't know where they keep, you know, contraband in the sense of you're smuggling in a substance that's legal everywhere but here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's guys in suits and ties doing that stuff, and there's guys in leather jackets and gloves with spikes on them selling drugs. So I pull over to the guy with the gloves and the spikes and go, what do you got? And I'll get whatever I want. To find a good Cuban cigar, you have to know where the rich people hang, and the rich people are actually still scared of... Can you believe there are people actually scared of getting arrested for having a Cuban cigar?
Oh, no.
There was an advertiser in L.A. on my radio station of a cigar club, and they had like a secret room that you had to know them for years,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd break out with a Cuban, but they'd clip any band off it. It was very weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like
underground,
right?
There's a ton of things that are illegal that I could get you faster in any city in America than I could get you a good Cuban cigar.
That's a great answer. Great answer. So, you kind of covered this. It's on my list. Your favorite place to smoke a cigar?
My favorite place to smoke a cigar? I will give you specifics on this, my friend.
Okay.
On a leather green recliner that should be red, but they didn't have any, that are called library chairs,
huh?
In my library, next to the fireplace, with a glass of something. I'll say cognac just to be cool, but I drink, I'm a much bigger fan of vodka. But I would say they don't go together as well, but I'm sure they do. I just do that to myself because cigars, like I said, they're a celebration. Something really happened.
Right.
Like some special guest will come on my radio show, and before they hung up the phone, instead of me thanking them, they said, that was the best interview ever, Danny. Thank you for not caring about this thing. And really, that was great, Danny. I'll come home and go, Tom Hanks could not have been more pleased with being on my show today.
Huh.
That would be, I'd have been to smoke a cigar.
Right.
Winning a boxing match, absolutely. First thing I do after a fight.
Is that right?
First thing I do after a fight is smoke a cigar. And that's usually without a drink, because I'm in a place that doesn't serve any kind of alcohol for the most part.
Right. Do you ever get it to any, like Mahogany is in downtown on Walnut Street? Yeah, on Walnut Street. It's on Walnut Street. It's right over top of Holtz.
Walnut and what?
I'm sorry?
Walnut and what?
15th, 16th.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, my band of leisure stops at Broad Street.
Oh, okay.
I live at 2nd and Chestnut.
Gotcha.
And after City Hall, I just think it becomes too much of a hassle to park or get a cab.
Sure.
Traffic. Well, it's just ridiculous.
There's a shop called Holtz, which is a huge...
I know Holtz.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's 16th and Walnut.
No, I do know Holtz.
It's right under... Mahogany is right over top of Holtz. It's a,
oh, okay.
It's a cigar bar.
I've either been to or just know of Holtz. I can't tell you why, because, like I said, it is out of my playing area, but you know what? I think my dentist is right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think it is. And you know what I brought there? Because I didn't buy cigars because somebody had just sent me a box of cigars for hitting a big thing in the ratings.
Right.
So I had a big box of cigars at home, so I went and bought a big, fancy cutter and lighter.
There you go. Perfect. Smoking bans. How do you feel about the smoking bans?
In what sense?
How they're, you know, you can't smoke in bars, you know,
I think
you're not allowed to smoke.
Perfectly reasonable, especially here in Philly, in Los Angeles. I was born here in Philadelphia, but I lived for 30 years in Los Angeles, and during that time they put the smoking ban in, and there were a couple of restaurants that were grandfathered in because they had, like, an extension where parts of the roof would open, so you could smoke. I wrote my entire book at a bar called Mirabella, I think. I wrote it at the bar in longhand and then would dictate it when I got home. But I would write it while smoking and drinking at Mirabella's. So I have never boycotted a bar, but I just quit a month ago a three-pack-a-day cigarette habit.
Did you? Congratulations.
And I lived in Chicago in the winter. And the fact of the matter is, this is another reason that cigars are a celebration. You don't go outside in the freezing rain or snow to get a couple hits off your cigar. You don't do that. You recline. You relax. You know, in my estimation of life, somebody is peeling grapes for you while you're drinking and smoking your cigar. It's a moment in time. It's not a rush outside, get your fix, and get inside. I can wait a month. I can go, okay, I'm fighting this guy, or I'm doing this thing, or I'm racing this car, and if I win, I have me looking at a picture of me winning a race right now, so what do you think of it, because I don't really race cars, but I just happen to have won one. I will go home and smoke a cigar because it's called for. That's the thing about me and cigars. I'm not a casual smoker. My cigar must be called for.
Gotcha. Now, here's a question. Since you brought up quitting cigarettes, I did that myself 3 or 4 years ago, and a lot of people I know that quit, No, cigar will just put me right back onto cigarettes.
I think, in a way, if they're serious smokers as I, the fact of the matter is they will. I will take the most gnarly cigar of any kind and pretend I'm not going to inhale it and inhale it. I think if you want to quit smoking and you're a serious smoker, I think a guy that smokes half a pack a day, first of all, I have no respect for that guy. That guy shouldn't smoke. He's not addicted. You shouldn't even smoke. They're bad for you. At my point, 30 years of three packs a day, I got the shakes when I quit. I went to a doctor.
Oh, sure.
I can't shake like this at work. People are going to think something. You have to help me here.
That's right.
That's a lot of nicotine, 90 cigarettes a day. Wait, 20, 40, 60 cigarettes a day, I'm sorry. If you would describe me, they'd say he'll be on the corner, he'll be smoking a cigarette, and he has red hair. The first thing you would say about me is he has a cigarette in his hand.
Right.
So a guy that smokes that much will immediately inhale cigars. If you want to move from cigarettes to cigars and not continue to damage your lungs and or throat, I'd give it 3 months minimum. Because the joys of a cigar can be, they're had in your mouth, not in your lungs.
Well, and that's exactly true, and I always was able to make that distinction myself, that these are two different animals.
It took me a while.
Yeah, you got a nicotine, one's a nicotine delivery system, and one's,
At this moment, I have a patch on each arm still.
Is that right?
Yeah. What I do, I'm not wearing a brand new patch on each arm. I have this theory that you wear one for a day, and then you put on a new one. But if I take a shower, and yesterday's didn't fall off, that means God didn't want me to take it off yet. So I put the other one on. Even though I know the other one is dead, it's 24 hours.
Sure.
I wait for God to say it's falling off. When it falls off, that's fine, and I'm wearing the new one. But currently, this morning, God didn't ask for the one to fall off in the shower. So I'm wearing two at the moment.
That's great. I tried the patch, and I just couldn't keep them lit,
I know. Believe me, I tried the patch putting it over my goddamn mouth.
That would probably be good, too.
No, it may. It goes nothing. My mouth moves a lot.
That's good. One more on my list of questions here. If you could smoke a cigar with anyone in history, who would it be, and what would you talk about?
All right, history is like my favorite thing, man. You're going to have to give me a second. Off the bat, I'm going with Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
But I also might go with Voltaire. But there's I'm going with Socrates.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Socrates. Because cigars do go out because they don't have the chemical enhancement that that cigarettes do. And I am going to, with a good cigar, with the right cigar, I am going to spend a day in the company of Socrates. And I don't think you'd come out the same. A good cigar and Socrates, I think, therefore I am. I smoke, therefore it's pleasurable.
That's right.
Be a nice day.
Absolutely.
I'm really smart.
What a great... That's a great answer. I mean, you were, the first two were no slouches. But Socrates is a good one. Jefferson, Voltaire. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I often attribute a quote from Voltaire to Jefferson. Jefferson is, I think, one of the greatest presidents, obviously, of all time. Most Americans will give you Abraham Lincoln, which I will happily agree with. But, and as a matter of fact, a manic depressant, but was known to smoke cigars. But I found the wisdom of Thomas Jefferson. I mean, I live 4 blocks from the Declaration of Independence. And when you see it holding up, no matter what tribulations and trials and tribulations hit it, it covers them 200 years later. It covers the FDA. It covers flight. It covers airspace. I mean, how is it possible for a man to have been so ahead of his time that with the tiniest bit of tweaking by mortals, a 200-year-old document is still exactly appropriate for today?
That is incredible, isn't it?
Also, he invented the lazy Susan for books. And anybody that can read 4 books at a time, I'm a fan of.
No kidding. I think he grew tobacco, too.
He did. And probably had it picked by Sally Hemings.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that exhausts my limited questions for you.
Imagine my poor... I'm getting married next week.
Yeah, and congratulations for that.
Imagine being a poor girl who lives with me. The second I hang up with you, I'm going to go tell her something I think is really clever and badger her like this. I believe me, I'm aware I am exhausting.
Well, congratulations on that. And
thank you.
Thank her and my wife for setting this whole thing up.
So you're the same guy as me. We would not be talking if it weren't for chicks.
That's right, see?
Cool.
Can't, yep.
Gives us time for manly stuff.
Exactly. So I'm gonna take this. I actually recorded this old school on a cassette tape.
And wow, that is old school.
I'm gonna lean a digital recorder up to it, like we used to take our cassette recorders and put them up to the radio to record songs. And I'm gonna digitize it so I can play it back on my computer and stop and start it.
Do you mind if I ask your age?
My age?
Yeah.
I'm 46.
I'm 51. My fiance is 28. I one time asked her if I could use her Walkman to go out and jog with. She laughed at me like I wanted to borrow her dinosaur. She didn't even exactly know what a Walkman was. And we finally got around to I met her iPod.
Uh-huh.
So when you say you're taking your cassette and putting up your... I'm with you 1,000%.
Right.
You and I are kindred spirits, but my fiance is a 28-year-old school teacher who's not only of the techno age, but teaches people who are even more techno than she is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she can make any... In this mid-conversation, if I had said Thomas Jefferson and slipped her a signal, who was his slave yet mistress, and she'd have it for me, like, so fast that I could have said Sally Hemings without having actually had to know that. The only thing is I refuse to do such things. I will look up Google when I need to, but I thought it sounded like showing off. Because first I had a thing called greater than Google, and I said, nah, it's too much. How about faster than fingers? And what I wanted to do was take any question on the radio and answer it, at least in general, so it was correct, faster than anybody could Google it.
Right.
But with my girlfriend, damn, a 28-year-old school teacher, they know everything fast. The thing is, they don't care. And no offense against my girlfriend, she happens to be extraordinarily bright. But young people with the Google, they get their answer right away, like life is some kind of game show, and they move along. They don't remember at all what they just learned.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I remember everything that I see of any interest at all, because it might be of interest to me later. Last year, on the History Channel, said the ice of the ice age weighed 67 trillion tons. I'll never forget that, because that interested me.
Right.
Kids say that, I hate saying kids say, because I sound so old, but there's no use in the information, because they can get it again.
That's right. Yeah, it's all, everything's just a couple of keystrokes away.
Hey, youngster, try having dinner with me and not feeling embarrassed by how little you know. Not you, of course. But I meant in general.
I keep thinking. Stuff
and then hit delete.
Sure.
You know, try sitting down at a dinner table with me, my 28-year-old girlfriend who's probably your age, and you'll be shocked how little you know. You know, P.T. Barnum may have been saying something quite rude when he said you'll never go broke betting on the ignorance of the American people. But on the lack of interest in their own history, he was right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to let you go, Eric. Well, I'll do this all day.
I appreciate that. I thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
My absolute pleasure.
And I will, when I get this all typed up, I'll send it to you so you can review it before I put it out there. So
no, you put it out there, man.
Are you sure?
Send it to me when it's done and out there. Send me a copy of the magazine or the article.
I'll send you a link to it when it's ready. Email. Right. Email. That's another old fogey thing. The kids don't use that anymore, you know?
See, I don't know what they do. What is more advanced than email, for God's sake? Even the
they
post
text.
Office tried to keep up.
Yeah, they text. It's all text.
That's right. Man.
I have a 21-year-old that barely takes his computer out anymore. He's got his Android phone.
I will not answer a letter, even from my child, like my eldest daughter. Mm-hmm. I will not answer a text or anything that says the word cuz, C-U-Z.
Yeah.
I will write back, write me in English.
Exactly.
Do not do this to the English language. It's not the greatest language in the world, but it belongs to the greatest country in the world, and let's have a little respect for it.
There's
a real word that goes with cuz.
And how hard is it to type, you know, type a couple extra characters, please?
Exactly.
Yeah. I get amused when I get a text from my mother.
So would I.
75-year-old mother, I get a text from her. It makes me laugh.
I am with you 100%, Lois. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you, man.
Absolutely, and I look forward to seeing you again sometime real soon.
Hey, if you want to talk to a guy, I mean, I don't know this guy. I don't owe him any favors.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I did him a huge favor the other night, so there's no reason to. But if you would like to talk to a guy who just invested and bought his own cigar company, that Jimmy Dio guy that is the general manager of several huge car dealerships,
uh-huh.
who just started his own company. So if that helps you, go ahead and call him. But I don't owe him a favor. He's not a good friend of mine.
Sure.
You know, it's to you, go ahead, but if it's not, I don't care.
Definitely of local interest, and
I'll Reading, PA, and bought a cigar company.
Yeah, I'll definitely research that. Terrific.
Cool.
Great, Danny, thanks very much for your time again.
Thank you.
Look forward to talking to you again.
It was a pleasure.
All right, we'll see you.
Okay, so that was the interview with Danny Bonaducci, and I went back and double-checked, and I posted the text of that on my website, CigarCraig.com, on November 21st, 2010. I'm going to tell you, it took a while to transcribe that interview, the text of it is all there. So if you missed anything, you can go back to my website and use the search feature and search Danny Bonaducci. It'll come right up. So you can read the text of it if you missed something, and you might have, because he definitely talks a mile a minute. So I hope you enjoyed that. Sorry again for taking a couple weeks off, but like I said, things have been kind of hectic around here, so there you go. Again, thanks for listening to the Cigar Craig podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play or whatever podcast catcher you might use, and spread the word, share it with your friends, and we'll catch you next time.
If you smoke cigars, you better know this name. Cigar Craig's blog has set the net aflame. You can be sure Craig knows his stuff, with a new review each time he takes a puff. Learn about tobacco from the ends of the earth. Grab a cigar and get ready to herf. Brothers of the leaf, there's only one place to be. CigarCraig.com. Oh yeah.